would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might wanna stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
The night when he comes up here is either gonna kill or it's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio, live on local 107.3 FM in St. John. Lots of different ways that you can tune in. So if you're in the area, you don't want to see my ugly mug, you can listen to 107.3 FM. Streaming on localfm.ca, just audio, but if you want the full video extravaganza, you can find me on Facebook, John Forward Comedian. John Forward, or is it comedian or comedy? One of those two. John Forward Comedy on YouTube. Sometimes there is a downside to watching the video. More technical snafus. I noticed last week after the show, a couple of the songs that we played, if you're watching the video, it may have just completely dropped out. I've got to manually turn on. Anyway, it's a whole deal with the live stream. I think I have solved it for this week. Let's get rid of the little banner there. Yeah, still figuring out this whole thing. Camera angles, not bad when I'm just here by myself, which is by necessity, because of course we are in the New Brunswick circuit breaker. Too many COVIDs, so nobody's allowed to have any gatherings this weekend, and I'm not sure if. If it would count as a Thanksgiving gathering to have had a guest. I also didn't ask anybody. That's also a factor. But, it's a COVID hellscape out there, and nobody was allowed to have family dinners unless you went out to a restaurant where they're checking vaccine status. Of course, nobody's allowed to gather at home, though. If you don't already think that it's arbitrary and silly, I'm not going to convince you, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it. I mean, it seems weird. I am a little bit thankful on Thanksgiving that as bad as things are and can still get. I think it's a good thing that people are starting to get upset about it, because I really don't think we're going to get through this just saying yes, sir, and how high should I jump, and all that stuff. That seems wildly unlikely. I think the more people are upset, the more they're going to peacefully, hopefully, push back on this stuff. Unfortunately, the direction of the anger is not ideal. It should be. If you're upset about the rules, you should probably be upset with the rule makers. That's not exactly where it's pointed. Again, I'm going to read I just saw somebody post this on Facebook. This is not meant to call out or insult the person who posted it, and I'm not going to say who it was. That person's probably not listening to the show anyway. But I think this is kind of indicative of where most people are at, unfortunately. We vaccinated people who have and continue to follow all the rules are getting some tired of having to adjust when the people who have never listened anyway continue to do whatever they want. I mean, first off, it's a pretty neat trick if let's just have a thought experiment, and let's say that that you're in charge of a large group of people, and you don't know what you're doing, or you do know what you're doing, but your interests do not align with the people that have put you into that power. And let's say a bad thing starts happening to the people that you're in charge of, and you don't really know what to do. And you try whatever you can. Just throwing stuff against the wall. And a lot of the things that you tried that seemed prudent early on didn't really end up making much of a difference, if any. You kind of look at what's going on around the world, and lots of different places, different countries, different states and provinces within all those different countries, and probably different counties within those states and provinces and all that stuff. There's people all over the world right now, or in this theoretical situation, that are there's a bad thing happening, and people are trying different stuff to get it under control. And let's just say, for argument's sake, that all of the stuff that you tried either caused more harm than it solved or had no impact at all. That's a rough spot that you're in. If you've been put in charge of people and you tried a bunch of stuff that was very heavy-handed, some more than others, and there's other places that didn't do the same thing that you did and are having comparable results, it seems to be all over the place. I mean, the natural thing would be for people to say, hey, why are you telling us to do all of this stuff if it's not working? That would be the reasonable response. But let's say you are in a special position where, fortunately, the people that you're in charge of, you're also in charge of their schooling for minimum 12 years. So, as a person in power, you have the advantage in that most people spend most of their formative time learning about how all of the benevolent things that that you have done and people that have been in your place in the past have done, and that this is the best way to do things, and anybody else that tries to do it differently is bad, and bad things come as a result of it. So right out the gate, most people by default want to trust you. They want to assume that, you know, well, you must be in charge for a reason. And, you know, people make mistakes every now and then, but, you know, you mean well. But you're also in a position where you get to spend other people's money. So you get to whatever problem, whatever thing that you need to roll out, you've basically got a blank check. And still, and you can kind of control the flow of information. All of anybody that, you know, you can't completely stop the flow of information, but, you know, if there are primary, you know, let's call them news organizations, you can throw a lot of money around to them to kind of encourage them to step in line, and you can make all kinds of rules that, you know, consequences if they don't step in line. So still, you've got this situation where you're imposing major, there's probably a stronger word that you can use, but let's say you're imposing annoyances or inconveniences on people at best. And turns out that these inconveniences didn't really make much of a difference. The bad thing was going to keep happening. You don't know what to do. Doing absolutely nothing might actually be the best case scenario, but you can't do that because that puts into question why you're in charge to begin with. So if you're in charge of this large group of people and you decide, you know what, we tried some things and it doesn't seem to be making a difference, so we're just going to let everybody decide what's best for them. That's not going to work out very well, because that erodes trust a little bit, because next time there's a big problem, you're in less of a position to place yourself in charge of solving that problem if kind of the previous big thing you just decide, I don't know, and leave it up to everybody else. That kind of that gives people the idea that they can they can have some control over their lives. I don't even know where I'm going with this whole thing. Anyway, it's very convenient. When you start screwing up over and over and over again and causing problems in people's lives, either very specifically or abstractly, sometimes just an inconvenience, sometimes entire ways of life have been altered like crazily. The rational response would be for people to say, hey, all of these rules that you're doing aren't working. We need to have good rules, or just not this person in charge. But if you've got rules that don't work, you're never going to have 100% compliance. You can get pretty high, but you can always just blame it on people that didn't do the thing 100. You could have a rule and 99.9999% of people follow it. And if it's a rule that accomplishes absolutely nothing, that 99.99999% compliance rate doesn't accomplish anything. But at least now you can look at Uncle Doug over there in the corner who didn't do the thing and be like, ah, it didn't work because of that guy. And this isn't a very elegant metaphor that I've constructed here. But anyway, it's very convenient that you can kind of misdirect that. It's never the media is incompetent, the people in charge of government are incompetent, the people in public health are incompetent. No, it's always the naughty boys and girls and others who aren't following the rules or aren't following them hard enough. And I get it. People have been told every single time that a new rule, or they bring back an old rule, every single time it's this carrot that's being dangled in front of us that if you just do this thing, then we'll stop kicking you in the face. We promise if you just 2 weeks to flatten the curve, wash your groceries, be afraid of all those droplets that are spreading on surfaces. You need to hire somebody to wipe down every surface in your business every minute that it's open. I mean, just all of this stuff. And every single time, it doesn't work. COVID, it goes up and down. It's almost as if it is seasonal. And every single time it goes down, yay, it's because we did all of the things that we were supposed to do. And when it goes up, it's like, oh, it's because nobody did it. So it's the same thing that, you know, whenever a government program is implemented, it's always when things are going well, it is because of our strong actions and decision making and all the rules and things that we've imposed and all of the stuff that we did. That's our fault. Everything is awesome now. And if you want things to continue being awesome, you should probably put me in charge of even more stuff. But then the second everything starts going to hell, you can start pointing the finger and be like, oh, it's those people over there that aren't following the rules hard enough. Or it's this other political party that, you know, I wanted to pass this law and they wouldn't let me and all that stuff. Or, you know, misinformation and all that stuff. There's an endless supply. Unless you can get 100% compliance, there's always some scapegoat that you can blame. And nobody's looking at, I mean, going back to, You know, there was a big, the Delta variant used to be called the India variant. Earlier this year, there was a huge outbreak in India, but this was following as recently as December 2020. There were articles coming out talking about how great India is doing because everybody follows the rules. And then a few short months later, everything is going badly, and it's, oh, well, this is because nobody's following the rules. What do you expect is going to happen? And it's the same thing. There were articles in 2020 about how Canada defeated COVID because of all of our obedience, and then not so much. So I don't know. And there's a million different examples of, you know, when Texas first reopened and you were seeing news coverage of all these stadiums with thousands of unmasked people, and you've got people going on the news like, oh my gosh, this Neanderthal thinking, they're really asking for trouble down there in Texas. And then nope, not so much. So that's what's going on. And unfortunately, I wish there was more kind of decentralization. I wish there was a bit more difference between different towns and different provinces. I mean, in the U.S., different states are taking wildly different courses of action on this whole thing. And people can make their decisions. People can move from one state to another. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but it's possible. But in Canada, everybody's pretty well on the same page, give or take a lockdown here and there. But everybody's pretty much on board. And this whole thing, that's why I don't like the idea of having mandates. I personally don't think like the lockdowns or masks or, you know, circuit breakers and not being allowed to have Thanksgiving dinner in your house are going to make any difference. But anybody wants to do that just to be cautious, they should be allowed to, and we should be having open conversations about it, and people should be looking at, you know, hey, this group of people is doing this thing, and it seems to be working for them, and this group of people didn't do that, and it's going badly. And we should be having more of those conversations. But it always seems to be one way. It's either congratulating the rule-following people in places or shaming the people that don't follow the rules. And there's no discussion about places that followed the rules and went bad anyway. And there's very little discussion about places that didn't have any rules and things were fine. And there's a million different things all in between. But anyway, Thanksgiving is the time. Anyway, I'm thankful that people are being upset. I'm still waiting for them to realize who they should be upset with. But, you know, it's a step along the way. But, yeah, so didn't do too much this weekend, not necessarily because of the rules. There was a family dinner that that I was going to go to on Sunday that was canceled. It's a weird thing. It's something that, you know, I'm generally not super, don't have a lot of family events, and it seems to get less and less every time a grandparent dies. That's kind of the glue that holds the whole thing together. So I spend more time going to family events with my dear wife May's family, and they're fine people, and but you know, they're an anxious people. They're people that feel guilty, like, ugh, we've only been here for 6 hours. I don't want to be the first one that leaves. So I don't mind staying at home. You know, I the past year and a half, I take every opportunity I can to spend time with other people, just because that's a more rare thing. So I don't want to ever really say no to going out to do something if the alternative is just going to stay home and do nothing. But, you know, hung out at home with my dear wife May, and I'm glad that I've at least got somebody to share the house with this whole time. This must be really hard for people that live alone. You know, played some video games, threw out my back, somehow. I've been wearing a brace and putting a heating pad on me because I'm old and broken. But anyway, that's what's going on. Let's take a quick musical break. And let's hear some System of a Down, and then I'll be back in a couple of minutes on St. John Forward Radio.
Such a lonely day, and it's mine. The most loneliest day of my life. Such a lonely day should be banned. It's a day that I can't stand. The most loneliest day of my life. The most loneliest day of my life. It's mine. It's a day that I'm glad I survived.
Welcome back to St. John Forward Radio. Lonely Day by System of a Down there, assuming that went through over the stream. A couple of listener comments come through via Facebook. New York versus Florida. Take a look at the New York numbers. One of the strictest places in the U.S. Versus Florida, that's been pretty well wide open since like September 2020. Not saying Florida's doing fantastic. They're pretty well in the middle of the pack. But, you know, pick your place. Pick a few. Do your own research. Again, people are telling you that that's a evil, bad thing to do. But pick a place. Whoever you think is doing a good job, take a look at their numbers. Whoever you think is doing a bad job, look at their numbers and pick a few different places. There are good and bad examples for both, but take a look at it. So New York versus Florida is a good comparison. That gets hand-waved away by, oh, well, New York is one of the most populated places in the world, which is true. But, I mean, if you take into account the, per 10,000, they're still packed in tighter, but If the masks and the other stuff, the social distancing and all that stuff, if it worked, it should also work when people are packed in tight. And also, everybody in Florida is 1,000 years old, so they should be dropping like flies. Not should be, as in I want them to, but you would think so. But Not so much. They're also, you know, warmer weather. That's probably something to do with it. I don't know. But it's age, it's obesity. That's what's going on. So anyway, off of that, I was going to talk about this last week with Shane Ogden was on. Lots of feedback on that episode. I appreciate that. It helps lets me know that that people are listening. This didn't really come up last week. It came out. There was this big thing that came out like Sunday last week before the show. There's a big Facebook whistleblower. Her name is Frances Hogan or Hagen, H-A-U-G-E-N. She is a former product manager for Facebook. There was a big 60 Minutes interview with this lady. There's some articles written about it. She apparently was brought into to Congress. And of course, everybody's hearing, oh, Facebook whistleblower. Everybody's, you know, yay, Facebook is terrible. And, you know, everybody's been talking about how much of a heavy hand they've all had with this COVID stuff and slapping these warnings on posts left and right, banning people, banning groups, censorship, all that stuff. So you think, finally, a whistleblower. We've got somebody from behind the scenes that's going to give us the goods on what's really happening behind closed doors at Facebook. And unfortunately, she's just complaining about how Facebook isn't censoring enough and not kicking off enough people because of the spread of hate and misinformation, two things that are not well defined and generally, the banner under which everybody who wants to censor something, this is the excuse that they use. It's hate or it's misinformation. It's somehow dangerous and pretty disappointing, but not surprising that, the whole corporate media apparatus, all the big news companies, and this is all over Facebook itself. They're not censoring these articles. I did have to use a VPN to watch the 60 Minutes interview. For some reason, they don't, that wasn't allowed in Canada on the YouTube page, but, I watched it. I didn't pay too much attention to, she apparently, talked to Congress or something for like an hour. And it's very obviously, like, I don't know if this, I'm not saying that this person was hired specifically for this, but in the same way that I don't think, you know, George W. Bush or anybody like in government created 9/11, but the most conspiratorial I'm willing to get on that whole thing is that there's a constant influx of threats, and it's not too much of a stretch that you just kind of look the other way to let one slide through. So it seems to be, there must be people on the inside of these companies that are trying to get the message out there, and they just kind of look the other way when the message is one that's convenient to the narrative that they want to talk about. I'm not saying that Facebook and Google and all these other things are good. I think most people would agree that it's not great. Everybody watched that social network. What's that movie called? The Social Dilemma on Netflix that talked about kind of how like these apps and stuff it uses algorithms and just the way that it's set up to kind of trigger into people's kind of addictive personalities and the damaging effects that it can have. That's all information that's out there, and it's not good. It's certainly not something that I'm happy with, but it's not anything that you need a whistleblower. Most of it is very obvious intuitively, but there's been studies. Again, there was that Social Dilemma documentary that everybody saw. So the fact that everybody's pretending to clutch their pearls that Facebook did some sort of like internal study and found that Instagram is giving teenage girls body image issues. Duh. Like, this is not a, oh my gosh, we're blowing the whistle on this. Young, impressionable girls get bad ideas from fake, glossy, attractive people pictures. I mean, oh my gosh. Next, you'll tell me that, like, I mean, they used to say this about, it used to be like Cosmo and movies and TV shows, all these hot people. That, I mean, it's not good being a teenage girl, I assume, for that kind of thing. But, you know, this is not a mind-blowing revelation. The idea that this woman got the job specifically to protect democracy and to fight disinformation is just, it's very weird. Anyway, it's 9:30. You're listening to local 107.3 FM in St. John, or you're streaming it in a million other places that I'm sending it out to. But anyways, yeah, so, like, Facebook is not, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that slides past the goalie on Facebook, but they've been cracking down pretty hard, especially the last couple of years, and it's pretty hilarious that this is being trotted out as like a whistleblower. Finally, someone speaking truth to power. We need more government regulation on social media, which is what everybody involved wanted all along. Just as some examples of, you know, actual problems with Facebook in particular, and, you know, social media in general. I look at a few people's Substacks, which, again, that's another, oh my gosh, that's a source of disinformation. They aren't vetting everybody to make sure that they're saying the right things and that their audience is based on the quality of their work. Somebody that so far, not like one of my top people that I follow, but somebody that I pay attention to them enough that I trust them, shared a thing to their newsletter that, like, saying that they shared a screenshot of like an article headline about how allegedly Norway reclassified COVID as a seasonal flu. And apparently this person just shared the screenshot of an article and immediately got like a 30-day suspension on Facebook, which I'm taking this person's word at. I don't have any reason to think that they made that up. That seems in line with other things that have been going on with Facebook over the last couple of years. And so I didn't want to just leave it at that. I wanted to do a little bit of fact checking on my own. So, you know, I did a search to try to find the original article, which admittedly I could not find. I found a bunch of odd websites that I never heard of, which, you know, that could be disinformation, so I don't want to trust any of those. But I did find, like, a Newsweek fact check of the claim that Norway reclassified COVID as a flu. And the fact check, obviously, which, again, these fact-checking organizations, you can look it up on your own. I'm not going to get too into the weeds on this, but the fact-checking companies are not exactly unbiased arbiters of truth. You can look into it yourself, kind of where they're funded and who they're kind of working with and who they donate to. Anyway, so the Newsweek article talks about this claim that has taken the internet by storm, that Norway reclassified the coronavirus as a flu, and they, of course, say this is false. The Norway Institute of Health, or whatever they're called, something like that. I'm probably not getting the exact wording down. I don't have it in front of me, but whatever organization says that is not true. And then it goes on to elaborate and says this claim probably came from the assistant director of the Norway Health, whatever it's called, said in a local media interview. So again, maybe that's why I couldn't find the official article. I don't know. Do they speak English in Norway? I have no idea. So, but this would have been in an interview on like local Norway stuff, which are not websites that I would recognize. So I don't know what's legit and what's not. But they gave a quote from this guy in the fact check article. So in the article where they're saying this is bunk, here's what the guy actually said. And the guy, I'm paraphrasing, but the quote in the fact check article was this guy who's pretty high up in this health organization said, we are our response is switched so that we're putting coronavirus into the same category as like seasonal flus. That doesn't mean that COVID's not any worse than the flu. That's not what it means. That's kind of what the headline by itself, that's what it has the flavor of. So again, the headline itself, I agree, was misleading. That nobody was saying that coronavirus is no worse than the flu. But what they are saying is that the Norway's government response to COVID-19 is the same as it is with the flu, which is it happens every now and then. And of course, at the bottom of the fact check article, they've got like the meter thing, like the little line that goes from like completely false to completely true. Now, if I was working for this fact checking agency and I saw this article that was sort of worded in a misleading way that makes it seem as if the virus itself is no big deal, when it's actually this particular government's response is the same as this other thing, I would put that like one click over from like completely true. The fact check put the needle buried all the way to the left to like false. They categorize this claim that Norway reclassified COVID as a seasonal flu. They called that 100% false. The same rating that they would give it if somebody completely fabricated the whole thing and made it up and it was based on nothing. So anyway, and we're saying that they're not censoring enough. And this is something that Facebook wants. I mean, they see the writing on the wall ever since Trump won in 2016. Everybody's been bending over backwards to decide how this could have possibly happened. Certainly not because of anything that Hillary Clinton did or is. It's got to be Russian disinformation and social media and spreading conspiracy theories, and it was WikiLeaks and just everything, except I don't know why he won, but I know why Hillary Clinton didn't win. I mean, there's a million reasons, but you don't need to have too much of an imagination for that. But it's just so ever since then, they've been dragging Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey from Twitter into talk and explain computers to 80-year-old politicians, and lots of threats of, if you don't do something about all this misinformation, we're going to crack down and you're going to be held liable and all that stuff. So it's not, and nobody is surprised that Facebook's algorithm has been tuned to show you stuff that is more engaging. And unfortunately, the most engaging stuff are things that make you angry. Of course, the corporate media certainly does not peddle in this cheap clickbait game. I'm rolling my eyes if you're only listening to the audio version, but, Facebook wants to just wash their hands of this. I mean, with the threats that are coming, I mean, Facebook and most like tech companies are very libertarian and free speech oriented. But when the government of the United States of America starts dragging you into in front of Congress to explain how you're ruining the country, you've got to do something. And I mean, they've got these things that scan everything for the word vaccines. Got to have like, here's some information about vaccines. Or I saw a weird meme this week. A few people shared it. I forget what it even was, but it was very innocuous. And it had like one of those filters on it, like sensitive content, where it's just gray. You can click on it and see the thing, but it was something completely not sensitive at all. And they Facebook sees the writing on the wall and they want to make it as strict as possible because they know only the hugest of huge companies can handle the burden of having to strictly moderate their content. It's the same thing. Like right now, we've got the vaccine passports in New Brunswick. It would be a whole other ball game if it was just a handful of individual locations that decided to crack down on this stuff. I suspect that they would take a hit to their business. The same as if Facebook alone decided to go like even more censorship and to block even more content and to remove even more people. Other competitors would come in and Facebook would eventually just lose their entire thing. I mean, they're pretty big now, so I don't know if that's even possible, but we saw what happened. You know, the libertarian argument is, oh, they're a private company, they do whatever they want. If you don't like it, then just make your own Facebook. And then they tried to do their own Facebook. They came out with Parler that was supposed to be like the free speech and we're not going to censor you like Facebook does thing, which, again, early adopters are almost, I installed Parler. I don't think I posted anything on there and I couldn't really, I saw lots of articles about all the crazy stuff that was going on Parler. I tried to find it just out of entertainment value and couldn't really find anything. It was all just Fox News and whatever. But a lot of people were downloading it and it was slowly growing. And I think they assumed once, Trump got kicked off Twitter, if he hopped over there, he'd probably bring a lot of people there with him, including people that are not supporters of Trump that would just want to be in there to be outraged at whatever tweet he made that day. And you know, they all worked together to shut that down. It got, the Parler got banished from the internet. I think they're back in some capacity. I'm not really sure. I haven't been back on. But, you know, there's a Rumble is a competitor to YouTube these days, and they're in a lawsuit against Google because apparently if you search for a video, I haven't verified this, the claim of the lawsuit is if you type for a certain video and you even add Rumble to the search on Google, it'll put like YouTube versions higher than that. So it's monopoly stuff, and they don't want to just, I mean, Facebook could flip a switch and be like, okay, you have the option of evil algorithm or just chronological order of your friends' posts like it used to. They don't want to give people options. They want to have a one-size-fits-all thing that also has to be imposed on their competitors so that nobody else can be like, well, we're not doing all that stuff, so come over to our way. But, you know, Facebook and Twitter, they were taking down posts implying that that COVID came out of a Wuhan lab. That's, and then it was like, actually, you know, that's probably a pretty reasonable assumption to make, and now they're not talking about it anymore, so I'm not sure where that lands. Yeah, right before the election, there was all these stories about Hunter Biden's laptop going around, which you can debate whether or not anything that was on there mattered or if it should have affected the results of the election, but a story like that where a presidential candidate has, you know, a son drops off a laptop somewhere with a bunch of pictures of him like smoking crack and naked, and more importantly, like email chains that that imply some shady business dealings from Papa Biden. But that was scrubbed from the internet. You were not allowed to share those posts. That was New York Post, which is a a news organization that's been around for a really long time. You just couldn't share that article on Twitter and Facebook. It obviously, I saw it, so it made its way to me, but they, I don't know. Everybody in charge just is freaking out that they seem to have lost control of the flow of information. And yes, there's a lot of nonsense on the internet. But when we had a few news channels, we were being lied to constantly, and there wasn't anybody else to give the different version of it. So that it seemed like, oh well, everything was better when everybody listened to the same three channels or whatever. But, like, go back in history, pick your atrocity, and see what the media coverage of it was at the time. In my lifetime, I remember I started doing shows here at Local FM in 2001, post 9/11, and all of the news coverage was support our troops, Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction, they're for sure there, we need to go in there and have a war and all this, and the terrorists hate our freedom and blah blah blah, all of that stuff. It has nothing to do with U.S. intervention overseas and any blowback or anything like that. So the narrative around the whole Iraq war was pretty awful. The narrative around any war is awful. Go back, like, consider how much they freaked out when they finally decided to leave Afghanistan, admittedly in a very haphazard, nonsense way. But just the hand-wringing, oh my gosh, you're stopping a war, compared to the, oh my gosh, you're starting a war, that didn't really happen. Same thing, they all freaked out when Trump wanted to pull troops out of Syria. Do you even remember them talking about going into Syria? I think most people found out that there was a war going on in Syria when they were going to pull troops out. Again, that's not necessarily true. We get lots of Syrian refugees here. I don't know how common that is. But this all starts with the early days of the internet censorship. Was they get rid of people that are an easy argument. They want to get rid of Milo Yiannopoulos and Alex Jones, and everybody's like, well, I don't generally like censorship, but those are really bad guys, so we get rid of them. But it's a slippery slope, and it's the writing is on the wall. Facebook wants this to happen to everybody so that a small upstart competitor to them just does not have the resources to police every single post by every single user on the thing. And it's the same with any kind of almost every regulation that exists for any business that is under the guise of this is for the good of mankind. But it's always just it's for the good of the big companies. The Walmart is not rallying against the minimum wage. They want this because they're big enough that they can survive it. In the same way that Facebook is big enough that they can keep better track of what goes on their website than resources would allow for a smaller competitor. So that's what's going on. But this thing is all very ugly. It does not seem to be an attempt to limit the power of Facebook. This seems to be, we want Facebook to continue having this power to kind of steer the conversation in society. But they just want to have better control over it. They don't want to have Facebook have any less power. They just want to make sure that they're using that power in the correct way. So, unlike Edward Snowden or Julian Assange, actual whistleblowers, they're rolling the red carpet out for this lady that thinks that Facebook needs to censor even more. And not good. But let's take another musical break here, and I'll be back to close out the show. Oh, let's put the old playlist on shuffle and see what we get. That's the first one on the playlist. I never know. All right. POS. St. John Forward Radio.
Yeah. I mean, no. I'm like sweating details at this point. It's good though. Hey.
Lungs like smokestacks, young black terror attack, hair on their neck raised, scaring them back, keeping my Kerouac first rate, they in the first grade, begging like babies, gimme, why? Read too dirty, man, shimmy, y'all, skinny bars, nah, all sense, no penny jar, snubber star, celebrity fed, no meals worth mentioning, all unsettling, nihilist, anarchist, mindset reddening, need what? Fuck meds, all dead, everything, these cats on that, all hell, petty things, ready with the cheap, I'ma beat them in their sleep, as soon as the door open, they hitting the flow. Hoping to get to the front row. My shows are so lightning. Wherever we go, the team steadily grows. Man, who knows? They figure we do it right, but no one gives a fuck about shit. So fuck your shit. We fuck shit up, cause shit's fucked anyway. Shit is running to the ground.
I know, right?
I don't wanna think about it. I just wanna get down.
Get down, get down. Until we come up. Down. I don't wanna think about it. I just wanna get down. Get down, get down. Shit. I ain't tryna hear that, I just wanna get down. Till we come up.
It ain't nothing but a doom tree goon thing. Get your face peeled off, homeboy. Ooh, day.
Okay, well, something seems to have gone wrong with the Spotify, so I apologize for that. It just switched over to my cellular telephone. Anyway, that was a little bit of POS with Get Down. All of this stuff that's going on, I don't know what to do about it. None of it's pleasant, but if I'm doing my job, hopefully more people will notice and get upset about it. And I don't know. The more people that are... if we make the imposition of this stuff as inconvenient as possible, that's where change happens. You don't really comply your way out of tyranny. I don't know what to do. I talked about last week how as a comedian, you know, you want to use your platform to kind of make people laugh is number one, obviously. But you know, if you can plant seeds and get an idea out there, that certainly should not be your top priority. But if you have the ability to make people laugh while also planting seeds, I think that's important. So that's something I've been working on. I think I have to, to varying degrees over the years. So I was just kind of going over some old stuff to see if we can breathe new life into anything. And anyway, here's a clip of mine from, this is from Cigarettes and Cool Ranch. You can watch the whole hour on YouTube. This was recorded in summer 2019, so it is not referencing anything that happened after that. This is a story about my substitute teaching days. So this is after I do another bit about teaching full time at Sussex High, and this is kind of the bit that follows that covers kind of the end of my teaching career. So let's hear a little bit of that.
I'll take that as a no. Round of applause for the teachers anyway. It takes a really special person to go to school for 12 years and then go to another school for 4 to 6 years and then get a job in a school and then keep a straight face while you're yelling at some kid about being prepared for the real world that you have no experience with whatsoever. You know, I decided this isn't the job for me. I'm going to start looking for something else. But in the meantime, I'll still collect a paycheck. Went down to the teacher open mics, substituting. And I figure, I'm not trying to be in there anymore. I can take down the system from the inside. I can be real with these kids and teach them something worth learning. One day I'm teaching an elementary class, and the kids can tell how cool I am. They open up and they start telling me about their fucking psychotic music teacher, which elementary school music teacher should be the most stress-free job on earth. But she was a lunatic from what they said. She's yelling at them every day, calling them names, dumping kids out of their chairs onto the floor. And the teacher in me was like, keep your mouth shut, you'll get kicked out of the union. But then the supply teacher in me was like, I'm not in the union anymore, fuck that bitch. Kids, get out your binders and a fresh piece of paper, I've got a plan for you. Every time your music teacher does something like this, I want you to write down the date and the time and a little description of what happened. And then once all 25 of you have a full sheet of dirt, send the class messenger down to the principal's office and make a delivery and see what happens. I don't know what happened. I just threw that match and walked away. But end of the day, the kids are rushing up to the class like, Mr. Farwell, we got our own video. We're going to post it on Facebook tonight. Fight the power. Another day, I'm teaching a class, and they didn't leave me a crossword puzzle, not even a word find. I didn't know what to do with myself. So they had a Remembrance Day assembly the next day. A soldier was coming to speak to the school, and this class had a song that they were going to sing for him. They wanted to practice. I'm like, all right, we can do that. I listened to them sing this song 3 times in a row. Not a talented group of kids. I was not going to buy that album or even stream the single. Just, let's do it a 4th time. Like, nope. That's enough propaganda for one day. Let's do something real, kids. I turn my chair around backwards, all cool teacher, dangerous mind style. Like, that song is about World War II. Let's rap about World War II, kids. Who knows something about it? Hitler killed the Jews. Like, yeah, he did. What else? The Nazis were the bad guys. Like, well, that's what the Jew-run media would have you believe. I didn't say that. That would be a weird turn for the show to take. No, I'm like, yeah, the Nazis were the bad guys, but the German people didn't see themselves as the bad guys. They were going through a tough time historically, and this guy Hitler comes through, and he's very charismatic. He's good at giving speeches and getting everybody all riled up, and he's like, everything that's wrong with your lives is because of these people. Let's get them. And everyone's like, yeah, all right. Nobody thinks that their own country are the bad guys, and you kids are the future. You need to pay attention. You need to be vigilant. You need to question authority. You need to make sure that Canada never becomes the bad guys. Anyway, grade 2, it's time for recess. If anyone needs help with your snow pants, you know where to find me. Fight the power.
And we're back. So that was me from 2019. I mean, you know, I should note, I explained it in the bit. I don't think that the media is run by the Jews. That was a joke, kind of a reference to something that was not in that clip earlier. But anyway, No Jokes Barred is coming up this Saturday, October 16th at McGill's. Showtime is at 8 o'clock. This was going to be a roast battle, but many of the participants were coming from Moncton, and that's the danger zone. They're being circuit broke, so they're not allowed to come here. So anyway, come check that out. I forget who's on the show. A bunch of people. JohnForward.com is where you can find all my stuff. YouTube, Facebook, etc. That's almost the end of the show. I'm going to play the end titles, and then we'll take us out with some music with whatever time's left. Good night.